As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are retreating from nine-week highs following the S&P 500's longest winning streak in 5 months after worsening economic data from Asia reignited concern over the outlook for global growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P 500 down 0.8% or 15 points to 1985. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.6% or 108 points to 16,965. And the Nasdaq's down 0.7% or 34 points to 4674. 10-year Treasury up 0.33, the yield 1.82%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.1% or 79 cents to $37.11 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $4 to $12.68 an ounce. The euro, $1.1041, the yen, 112.70. Two United Continental Holdings shareholders will nominate airline turnaround artist Gordon Bethune to lead a slate of new directors in an effort to overhaul the airline's management. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway said it'll sell bonds in part to repay a $10 billion loan used to finance its purchase of Precision Castparts. And Sanofi and Merck plan to end a two-decade-long joint venture to sell vaccines in Europe as revenue from the products dwindles. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Bloomberg Surveillance is Tuesday. Brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP, ranked among the top three forensic accounting firms in New York by the New York Law Journal for the sixth year in a row. Visit markspaneth.com, M-A-R-K-S, Paneth, P-A-N-E-T-H, markspaneth.com. And we thank them, looking forward to the seventh year in a row, the sixth year in a row that they work in this difficult area of forensic accounting. Brian Jacobson is a brave soul. He's with Wells Fargo, and he thinks about what to do with money, particularly in a single-digit world. Brian, you beautifully revisit dollar-cost averaging, which by definition works within greater volatility and a double-digit world. Can dollar-cost averaging work in a lethargic, low-return world?
Well, thanks for having me on. And, you know, it's not that brave to say let's go with the tried and true method of saving early and saving often, which entails dollar cost averaging. The problems, I think everybody's trying to pick a top or pick a bottom as far as when they're doing their allocations, and living in a binary world like that can create a lot of volatility with your portfolio. And in fact, if you have a volatile market, the dollar cost averaging can really help you sort of smooth out the cost basis of your portfolio. Yes, ideally, we'd like to pick the bottom for getting in, but that's somewhat of a fool's errand.
Yeah, but within that is the new regime we're in. I mean, if we can all agree we've moved from 20% a year to 12% a year to somewhere south, the major metric I see is we just have to put aside more money. I mean, that's what we've heard interview after interview. When there's that desperation to put aside more money, is the first order condition to just put it aside, or does DCA really work?
Well, I think that the first thing you need to do is to increase the amount that you are saving to reach those long-term financial goals. Because in a low interest rate environment, if you think about, it's not just a low interest rate environment, but we all face the prospect, thankfully, of having longer life expectancies when we're in retirement. that increases that liability effectively that you're trying to fund. So you have that longer time frame and you have lower interest rates, and that means that now you need to save a little bit more, which is, I think, behaviorally what people have been doing. We've seen an uptick in the savings rate in the United States, so that's encouraging. But for investors who are looking at how then to enter the market, I think that dollar cost averaging, where you're doing it every single month or maybe even every single week, if you can increase the frequency with which you do it, that can really help. So even if you don't have a directional market where it's moving up or it's moving down, even if there's just that volatility where you've got lots of ups and lots of downs, the dollar cost averaging can cover over a multitude of market timing sins.
You mentioned save early, save often. Now, let me bring up something I was talking about with Jack Bogle a little while ago, and that's these firms now. I realize you're at Wells, but firms that suggest you direct deposit some of your paycheck into stock funds that they manage, passively. Is the market the best place to save?
For many people, it might not be the best place to save if you aren't necessarily fully funded with what I refer to as your liquidity bucket or your precautionary balance bucket. You might want to fill those up first before you look at some of those, perhaps riskier parts of the market. I think that for a lot of people, it's somewhat uncomfortable to see the volatility in their portfolio if they don't first build up that base level of savings that they need to weather certain market storms. One of the old classics in financial economics is almost, if you think about it as building a pyramid, if you will, everybody's probably heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've got to take care of that base level first. And I think for a lot of people, you have to have that safety first principle, which is make sure you have enough cash balances and precautionary balances that you don't have to fixate on the daily ups and downs of the market.
Brian Jacobson with us with Wells Fargo. Brian, I turn to the Center for Retirement Research, Boston College, Alicia Manel, and the people up there are doing absolutely brilliant, acutely mathematical work on what we're doing actually with our money. And one of their great studies of the autumn of last year is a basic idea as the kids leave home, and it's laughable how minimal people increase their 401ks, their retirement plans, when supposedly the tuition bills are done. What is your prescription to change retirement savings behavior? Does the government have to step in and just massively increase the incentives to go to 401k?
You know, that's a real tricky question, because they have increased the incentives to go to the 401k, but that doesn't really seem to be doing it for a lot
exactly.
of people.
I think
changing the rules, as far as, they took a big step forward by having default enrollment as being an option, effectively taking advantage of our laziness. I think that might be a good way to perhaps nudge people into saving more prudently for their retirement. You can put things more on autopilot in terms of having automatic escalations of your contributions to your 401k. So I think that just allowing plan sponsors to design plans that better fit the behavior of plan participants will really go a long way to helping people fund their retirement. Otherwise, you get into a situation where, like it or not, we'll just all have to work a little bit longer in retirement.
Yeah, my headline on this, and this comes from a lot of work, a major shout out to Peter Orszag and his time at Brookings, is the bottom two-thirds of the country have to be massively incentivized to get going on this.
Well, now we've talked about people putting their money in the markets. What are you expecting from the markets? You had a fairly aggressive call for the S&P 500 this year, and we've had a fairly lousy first couple of months. Are you still sticking with that?
I am, and actually there was a Bloomberg brief that just came out this morning where they did a little interview, a Q&A with me, and that was a lot of fun to discuss. And unlike a lot of people, I haven't really lowered my targets for the S&P 500 for the balance of the year. I still think we could see 2250 on the S&P 500. I'm not saying we're going to end the year at those levels. I think that, you know, trying to pick what's the level of the S&P at, you know, the last day of the year, why not just ask me what it's going to be on, you know, June 3rd or some other random date? I think that I usually think of these things in terms of trading ranges, and I think that we could move up to 2250 if we get, there's three key things that we need to see. I think we need to see additional policy moves out of China to stabilize their economy and their currency. I think we need to see the ECB, instead of having a Draghi disappointment like we had in December, I think he needs to beat expectations when they meet on March 10th. And we need to see the Fed be very patient when it comes to hiking rates. I think that Lael Brainard, when she was speaking yesterday, she did a very good job of outlining the reasons for why the Fed should be very cautious when it comes to hiking rates.
Brian, thank you so much. Brian Jacobson with Wells Fargo with something we don't spend enough time on, which is the shaky retirement structure of the nation. Mike, I can't say enough about Alicia Monell's work at Boston College at the CRR.
You've been a leader on that.
And it's just jaw-dropping. I will mince no words. The failure of ERISA of 1974 is just stark as can be. And, you know, we can't do enough discussion of that.
Should bring her on, and she can give us advice for people who have children who will need to be educated and therefore cannot retire. Yeah. What our savings plan should be.
But, you know, we came out of this, folks, with Eisenhower and then Jimmy Carter and President Reagan and others jump-starting ourselves into an organized retirement. You know, it was all based on choice and freedom. And remember, you got toasters and free flags and bagels were served, and for, I believe the working number Alicia has is for 81% of Americans, 8 out of 10, it hasn't worked. And it's just all there is to it. I think we'll be doing more of that as we go through 2016. Right now, a pause in the market. It's been really a good number of days, negative 95 on the Dow, then down 13 points on the S&P 500, 1989. The Dow under 17,000, the VIX 18.40. 1 year trailing return, S&P 500 negative 4%. The Dow negative 5%, looking back 12 months. We are produced by Wayu Yan. Ken Felio, our global technical director, is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.